All right, let's continue on Thanksgiving. Let's see the attitude and thing that the, especially the book of Psalms will teach us. Go through the book of Psalms. And the book of Psalms is the key for study on your knees as you are praying to develop your relationship with God. Because that is the important thing. You have to have knowledge. You have to have God's Spirit. You have to have also feeling and emotion motivated by the Spirit of God, not the false thing that comes with Pentecostalism, rolling on the floor and jumping up and down and all of that sort of thing. So here in Psalm 31, let's come to Psalm 31 and begin in verse 19. Psalm 31. And the more that we understand about God and His greatness and His love and His goodness for us, the more that we really appreciate it in loving God. See, because love has to do with knowledge, has to do with obedience, it has to do with the Spirit of God, it has to do with emotion. That's why we are told to love God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, and with all of our being. And why don't you use that as kind of a formula the next time you get kind of in a rut and humdrum and wondering what to do to return to God? Start right there about how to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and being, you see. Verse 19. Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who take refuge in you before the sons of men. Isn't that interesting? We are called out of the world, but we live in the world, and we're sanctified by the truth of God, right? Yes. And God isn't going to take us out of the world, but notice what He's going to do. Something that is invisible that the rest of the world cannot see, which is a great blessing to thank God for. Verse 20, you shall hide them in the secret place of your presence from the plottings of men. You shall hide them in a shelter away from the strife of tongues. Now think about that. How tremendous this is. This is a spiritual blessing and quality that comes from God because of your relationship with Him, because you love Him with all your heart, mind, and soul, and being. Verse 21, blessed is the Lord, for He has shown His wondrous loving kindness in a besieged city. Now, I think we're going to see that in the future, right? That God will spare those who love Him, send His angels to camp about them, to deliver them out of trouble, minimize the trouble for them. Okay? For I said in my haste, I'm cut off before your eyes. Nevertheless, you heard the voice of my supplication when I cried to you. Now let's understand what a supplication is. A prayer is a petition, praying to God. A supplication is a deep, heartfelt, and in some cases very tearful plea beseeching to God. See? You've heard the voice of my supplications when I cried to you. Oh, love the Lord, all you His saints. The Lord preserves the faithful and fully repays the proud doer. That's why you have to put the wicked in God's hand. Now, today we see wicked on television, and what happened? A lot of us react, you know, well, they can't hear you on television. Even one man was so upset with what was on television, he got out his shotgun and shot the television, was arrested for it. An endangerment of other people, and he's going to spend a few weeks in the local Who's Cow, see? Put the wicked in God's hands. Don't shout and yell and scream at them. Is it going to change them? See? Today we live in a time when strangers are rising high within Israel. Don't be frustrated. Just get out of their way. Don't accuse them. They're fulfilling a prophecy from God. So what we need to do is yield to God so that we don't come under that. So notice what he says here. The Lord preserves the faithful and fully repays the proud doer. Now Jesus said that you love your enemy, pray for those that despitefully use you and persecute you, so that you may be the children of your Father in heaven. How do you pray for your enemy? Number one, that God would convert him. It's possible. Look at Saul. Number two, that God would keep you from their evil devisings. Number three, that they if none of the two begin to happen, then number three, pray that God will deal with them directly. Number four, which you'll find in the Psalms, pray that God will bring their own devices upon them to destroy them in their own traps. See? You don't have to get mad at them, shoot the television, throw the radio across the room. Okay? Here's what to do instead. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who hope in the Lord. Now that's something, see. That's why we're to be strong in the Lord and in his way. See, that's why going through and taking the Psalms, reading, studying them on your knees as you begin praying. And then this will begin to bring a lot of things to your mind on how you need to pray, things you need to pray about, how much then you can begin to love God, draw close to him. All right, let's come to Psalm 69. Psalm 69. One of the ways to be thankful is to always keep in remembrance what I've said, and I remind myself of this many times during the week, almost daily. You have nothing you didn't receive. See? And that in God we live and move and have our being. And as you heard me say in a lot of sermons, and I'm going to mention it here again, remember Hezekiah. When he got lifted up in heart, what did God do to test him? He left him. He left him. And I take that as a warning. Because there's so many things out here in the world to pull people away. See? Stay close to God. Remember who and what you are. Nothing but dust. Okay? Verse 29, Psalm. Oh, let's go down here to. Okay. Let's come down here to verse 24. Concerning the enemy. Pour out your indignation upon them. Let the fierceness of your anger take hold of them. Let their encampment be desolate, and let none dwell in their tents. For they persecute him whom you have stricken. They recount the grief of those you have wounded. Now this is of Christ directly. All of Psalm 69 here is of Jesus Christ. Read and study this whole psalm, see. Okay? Add iniquity unto their iniquity. And let them not come in to your righteousness. These are those who have completely cut themselves off from God. Now notice, verse 28. Let them be blotted out of the book of life and not be written with the righteous. Is that praying for your enemy? Yes, the unconverted, the unrepentant. Now notice the contrast. You don't lift up and exalt yourself when that happens, see. But I am poor and sorrowful. Let your salvation, O God, set me up on high. Because Christ is going to be resurrected. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. Now we're going to see all the things we can be thankful for God when we finish this sermon here. This also shall please the Lord better than a bullock that has horns and hoofs, The humble shall see and be glad, and your heart shall live, you who seek God. Now here's a promise. You feel cut off? You feel you have problems? You feel they're more than you can handle? Notice what God gives as a promise. And what you do is you claim the promise and say, oh God, here's a promise that you have given. Not because of any righteousness that we have, but because of your goodness and mercy. For the Lord hears the needy and does not despise his prisoners, those who are in difficult times and hard places. Let the heavens and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moves in them. You think about that the next time you watch some of these things like Blue Earth and migrations and things like that. And all that God has done with all these things in the world. And as Dolores and I were watching the other night, think of all the things that we can see from television that we would never have the opportunity to see. And there are men out there doing these things, and I think God directly causes them to do it. So there will be some things recorded to glorify God and be where anyone can see them. And this really struck me. They actually have crews of people, scientific people, that track whales. These were humpback whales. Now, there's a certain place in the Pacific Ocean that is their cavorting and courting and mating section in the ocean. And they got there when a young male and young female were cavorting. They were singing love songs to each other. They were swimming by and caressing each other side by side. They were under the water taking all of these pictures and just left all these men alone. Didn't even bother them. They were so enraptured in whatever, how should we say, sex drive and love thing that whales do. And I can't imagine that. My mind is, you know, I don't know how to figure out how that works. But I thought, isn't that something? Everything that there is, everything in the seas, everything that moves in them, praise God. And all I could do is just sit there and, you know, say that to myself. Look at what God has done. For God will save Zion and will build the cities of Judah so that they may dwell there and possess it, and the seed of his servants shall inherit it. That's us. We are the seed of his servant Christ. And those who love his name shall dwell in it. And that's New Jerusalem, see? Now that's amazing to understand. Now let's look at another psalm, Psalm 107. Okay. 107. Here shows God's mercy and then the thankfulness that we are to have to God when he delivers us. Verse 17. Fools are afflicted because of their rebellion. Have you been foolish? Have you been afflicted because of doing things that are not right? Yes, indeed, because of their rebellion and their iniquities. They themselves loathe all kinds of food. Now, I don't know exactly what that means. And they drew near the gates of death. In other words, because of their iniquities, they were so sick that they couldn't even stand to eat any kind of food. They drew near to the gates of death. Now notice God's mercy and kindness. Then they cried unto the Lord in their distress, and he delivered them out of their troubles. God delivers us from all our fears and from all our troubles his way. He sent forth his word and healed them and delivered them from their own destruction. Now doesn't that sound like God calling you to repentance and baptism and so forth? Verse 21, let them praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving, and declare his works with rejoicing. Now that's how we are to respond to God. Now let's look at some of the things in the New Testament that we are to do, we're to be thankful for, and how God deals with us. All right? Let's come to 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter. 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter. Okay? Way back in the New Testament, here we go. Okay, 2 Thessalonians, just before Hebrews. 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter. Okay? Chapter 1. Okay. Notice how Paul and Timothy and Silas, let's begin right here in verse 1. Paul and Silas and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now remember what we covered about the Spirit of God, of Christ and the Father dwelling in us. Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what God wants to give us all the time. Grace, which is favor, mercy, kindness, forgiveness, relationship with God, and peace. See, because a carnal mind is enmity against God and is warring against God. When you have grace and peace, you're in harmony with God, you love God, you believe him, you believe his commandments and so forth, you see. Verse 3, we are duty-bound to thank God always for you, brethren, even as it is fitting, because your faith is increasing abundantly, and the love of each one of you is abounding toward one another. So this is what we need to have in the churches of God. Why don't we just all cease our fighting among each other? Start loving God, start loving one another. See what kind of blessings will come from God. Okay? Now, let's see some what the Apostle Paul said here. 1 Timothy, the first chapter. Just to back a few pages further. 1 Timothy, the first chapter. Now, Paul wrote this just a short time before he died. He was in prison. Okay? Now, let's pick it up here in verse 11. According to the gospel of the glory of the blessed God. See, now what happened in Paul's life was this. Rather than get weary of well-doing, and rather than becoming lukewarm as a Laodicean, he grew to love God more. He grew to have more of God's Holy Spirit and to appreciate everything that he had gone through because it was all for the glory of the gospel and serving God. Now notice, with which I was entrusted. Now that's the same way with all of us, but especially to those who are teachers, you see. Being able to be a teacher is not an exaltation. It's a demotion, because now you're doubly responsible. I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, who has empowered me, that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was previously a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent person, but obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. So here's a good example. You always remember the lessons of the past while not living in the past. Do you understand the difference? See? You put all of that under the blood of Christ, but you learn the lesson. You don't relive the past. And this is a very important thing for all of those who've had very traumatic things happen in their lives. Learn the lesson. Don't relive it. And actually, this is how they're able to help those who come out of war. And not strangely enough, but very interestingly, there is a whole new movement to help the veterans of Iraq and Afghanistan to forget those things. And how do they do it? By giving something to them that loves them. A dog. And even hardened criminals. And they trained those dogs. It showed one man who lost the use of his legs. Trained the dog to take off his socks. Help him put them on. Open the refrigerator. Close it. Bring him a bottle of water. Turn on the light switch. And the dog was always right there. See? And the thing that is true about that is this. And they kept asking the question, well, why are these dogs this way? The answer, God made dogs so that even the worst person in the world will have a friend and can learn the beginning of love because the dog is unconditional. And if you love the dog, it'll love you. Be loyal to you. And you've heard how many stories of what dogs have done to rescue people. Even one story of about a dolphin and a dog, where the dog got thrown overboard and the owner didn't know it, and the dog and the dolphin had made friends out there in the ocean somewhere. And when the dolphin found out that the dog was in the water, came over, got the dog on its back, and came back to where the boat was. So, you know, next time you see a dolphin, kiss it. Activity. We do this when praying. We bring every thought into captivity to God and ask him to cleanse our minds with the washing of the water of the word, which is this. How can that be done? God's word, when we read it, brings an effect to our minds, coupled with the Holy Spirit, which actually reprograms our minds. Did you know that? That's why God's laws and commandments are to be written in our hearts and in our minds. That is a converted mind, you see. Okay? Now notice what Paul said here. Verse 14, but the grace of our Lord abounded exceedingly with the faith and the love that is in Christ Jesus. And so then, after he remembered the lesson of the past, how he was saved out of that through the grace and love and mercy and faith of God. Verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And he didn't get all lifted up. See, the truth is this, Paul, through his life until the time he died, actually thought less and less and less and less and less of himself. He started out by saying, well, I was the last of the apostles, not worthy to be called an apostle. He ended up by saying that in Ephesians 3, that he was less than the least of all the saints, which is a perfect example of how Christ said, the one who is great among you, let him be the servant of all. See? And the one who is great is the one who humbles himself like Paul did. But notice why he brought this up, verse 16. But for this reason I was shown mercy in order that in me first Christ might demonstrate all long-suffering for an example to those who would afterwards believe on him unto eternal life. So quite a thing. God is working in each of our lives in a very similar way to change us, to convert us. We need to be thankful for all of that, of what God is doing. Now let's come here to the book of Colossians, the second chapter. Okay? Colossians 2. And then we will start, when we close, we will finish up by listing all the things we need to be thankful for, and these are all the spiritual things of God. Okay, Colossians 2, and let's pick it up here in verse 6. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, now we can say today according to how the Bible teaches us. And isn't it an amazing thing? So many people don't believe in God and want to reject God, and they don't understand that God has a personal book, a message to you that you can get for free, if necessary, to know about God, if only you would. Okay? Be walking in Him. That means be living your life in Christ. How? Being rooted. It's like a plant. And build up in Him. Now, a plant automatically knows what to do. When you trim the branches, more grow. When leaves are cut off, more grow. See? So if we're rooted and build up in Him, we're building our character. We're building our love. And it says here, and being confirmed in the faith, exactly as you were taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. See, so stop and think. What one thing has God the Father, Jesus Christ, Old Testament or New Testament, commanded us to do that isn't right? Now, being carnal, He asks us to forsake things, not love the world, not be filled with lust and pride, see? All the things that He's given for us to do are good, see? Then we have a little guarding to do, verse 8. Be on guard, so that no one takes you captive through philosophy and vain deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the elements of the world, and not according to Christ. Because compared to every other religion and philosophy in the world, verse 9 answers the question. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him. Don't need other religions, you know. Who is the head of all principality and power. See? You, me, all those that God has called and have the Spirit of God through the Holy Spirit of God are connected to the greatest source of power in the universe. Do you understand that? See? Can we, with love and hope and everything, overcome those things? Yes. Do we have carnality to overcome? Yes. But be thankful in it and ask God to help you in everything. Okay? Chapter 4, since we're in Colossians here. Chapter 4. Let's begin here in verse 2. Continue steadfastly in prayer. Now he says in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, pray without ceasing. Now, what does that mean? Now, that means as you grow in grace and knowledge and love toward God, you will also become more dependent upon God. You will also realize that only God can help you. Yes, you have to get out and do your part, but only God can help you. And so what happens? You end up praying many times in the day, just while you're going along doing your ordinary things that you do. See? God help me with this. God help me with that. Repent of this thought, the temptation that comes along. And remember, every thought or temptation comes along is not a sin. Remember the 12 steps to sin that we covered? See? You expel it right away. If you get something stuck in your brain, have you ever had something stuck in your brain that just keeps going over and over and over and over and over and over? How do you get rid of that? You get on your knees, you repent of it, you ask God to cleanse your heart, cleanse your mind, give you forgetfulness, and take it away from you. God will. You may have to continue to pray that until such time that it's gone, but it will be gone. See? Always remember this with prayer. A lot of repetition is necessary because the prayers have yet to be answered. So you keep praying until the prayers are answered. A vain repetition is something that is toward something that is not God. Like the heathen, don't use vain repetition. Who are they praying to? Stupid idol. But there are a lot of things that we pray about that need to be prayed about daily. Do we pray daily, God forgive us of our sins? Do we pray daily? You know, bless our food? Do we pray daily? Keep us from the evil one? Isn't that necessary every day? Yes. Like one man who said, well, I've been faithful so long, Satan has no interest in me. Bang. And the greatest mistakes he made were just like Hezekiah at the end of his life. And God left him. But just like Hezekiah, he repented. See? So here it is right here. Continue steadfastly in prayer, watching in it with thanksgiving. Always remember that God is the one who gives us everything. Okay? Now, let's come back here to Philippians, the fourth chapter. Now, you've heard what is said, the power of positive thinking, and the power of positive thinking does work. But the power of positive thinking with the Holy Spirit brings about tremendous changes in heart, mind, attitude, relationship, thoughts toward other people, etc. All right? Let's pick it up here in verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything. That means overly anxious, overly concerned. Philippians 4, verse 6. Okay. About anything. But, see, here's how you put it in God's hands. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God in everything. And over a period of time and over a period of years, you're going to look back and see how God has answered your prayers. And you're also going to look back and see that part of the answered prayers that God gave you were some of the trials that you went through so he could continue answering prayers that you have in the future, see? And that's why we are where we are right now, because of this very process. And notice what happens. Here is the greatest thing that people in the world do not have but could have. And the peace of God, that's what you want. In the world, they express it, peace of mind. Okay, but it is God who gives you peace inwardly. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall guard your hearts and thoughts in Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit there is a power to strengthen you, to guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. So here's how to do it. When something happens that's not good, learn from the lesson, put it out of your mind, and go on. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honorable, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely. How's this for the power of positive thinking? Is not the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth, and isn't that the most powerful positive thinking that you could have? Yes, indeed. See? Whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Not only think on them, but act upon them. All right. Now let's see the things that we are to be thankful for. Okay? Now we can add some more things to this. I've got quite a long list. But let's start out with being thankful for God the Father and Jesus Christ. First of all. Okay? For Jesus Christ, for doing what he did to become the sacrifice for our sins, to be our Savior, to be the head of the church. For God the Father, for his great love that he has loved us and called us. Eh? Not a fantastic thing that God would deal in our lives? Okay? Be thankful for all the creation of God, the heavens and the earth, because all of those were made so that we, on this earth, of all the places in the universe, and the very few that he has called, because many are called but few are chosen, and you see your calling, brethren, although not many wise, etc., are called. See, God has called us. Be thankful for that. Okay? Be thankful that you're made in the image and likeness of God. A little lower than God. Isn't that amazing? All the abilities and things that God gave to all human beings. Next. For our calling. Calling to repentance. Calling to have our sins forgiven. Calling to receive eternal life at the return of Jesus Christ. Now these are all things that are above and beyond anything physical, you see. The physical things come in later. And just like we learned at the beginning, God wants to bless us with all the physical things. But first, let's acknowledge God with all the spiritual things, you see. How about the blessing of the Holy Spirit? The begettal to be a son or daughter of God. The Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. The Spirit of truth, which gives us the ability to discern right from wrong, good from evil, you see. How about God's Word? Thankful today that we have the whole Bible. Now, if you don't have the video, Israel of the Alps, you can order it. Just call in, write in, whatever you want. Email us. We'll send it to you. And they did a work for God having mostly the book of John. Now, different sections of the Israel of the Alps, they had more or less different parts of the New Testament. But that little bit that they had, and they went out and preached the gospel doing that two by two. So you look at what they did, and then pick up your Bible, you have the whole Bible, and ask yourself the question, what does God want us to do with what he's given us? And be thankful for it. We have the whole Word of God. Okay? Now, all of the things that I've mentioned above here, all of these things are for the greatest thing possible. You combine all of this together in one package, and that is that we can have a relationship with God. From the least in the world to the greatest in the universe. Think of that. And that's what God has created and devised for us. So then we can be thankful to God for all of these things. And the greatest thing then is our relationship with God. That we know we can get on our knees and pray to God, and he will hear us. We know that when we study his word, he will speak to us. We know that with the Spirit of God in us and the Spirit of truth in us, he will lead us, he will guide us, he will help us. See? Grant us his love. All right? Be thankful for his love because he loves us. And the love that he gives to us that we can love him. And the faith and the hope, answered prayer, all of that. So that is really something, brethren, that God has given us to do. Now let's close here by going to Colossians, the third chapter. And let's see how we are to put this in our lives. Now, I want you to read the whole third chapter, but what I want to do is pick it up here in verse 12. Now, all of these things have been given so that we and all that God has called can have this personal relationship with God, and when Christ returns, be resurrected from the dead. And if that's hard to grasp, which it is, think of the speck of what you were when you were conceived compared to what you are now at whatever age or stage in life that you are. And from that little speck, you came. So likewise, consider your life now in the flesh the same as that little speck compared to what it's going to be at the resurrection. So here's what God wants us to do. Okay, verse 12. Put on then, as the elect of God, think of that, the elect. That can mean the select. See? Because you answered the call, God has selected you. holy and beloved, deep inner affections, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering. Notice, all of this has to do then with our relationship with one another and other people, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also you should forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and that bond of perfection is the continuous, ongoing relationship that we have with God the Father and Jesus Christ daily. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called into one body, and be thankful. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And in everything, whatever you do in word or in deed. Now you see, the complete conversion of life. This is why we are to be thankful, see. So this makes the day of Thanksgiving that we observe here in America so much greater for us in the church. We have all the physical things, then you add all the spiritual things. I guess we should put the spiritual things underneath because they're the ones which then produce the most for us. Now notice, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So, even though this will reach you after Thanksgiving Day, for us, every day should be a day of thanksgiving. But we can thank God for the blessing that he gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that we can live in this land that has received the fullest blessing of everything physical, and so help us now to respond to him in everything spiritual. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.